I don't want to tell you what happened. I want to tell you how it felt. When I was 12, my little brother drowned. He was 7. I was with him. I swam him to shore. His arms were wrapped around my neck from behind, his chest on my back, his knees pummeling my thighs. At first, his small, heavy head was on my shoulder, and he breathed in my ear, the occasional snort when water came in. His head bounced. My shoulder ached. His hands were knotted at my collarbone, and I held them there with my hand, both so that he wouldn't let go and so that he wouldn't choke me. With my other hand, I pushed the water away. We had gone to the beach for the day, just the two of us, alone together. This was allowed. This was our whole summer. Our family lived in Baltimore, or in the suburbs, really, a place called Pikesville. When June came and set us free from school and set my father free from his job teaching chemical engineering at Catonsville Community College, my mother was a painter, so she was always free. We would drive 3 hours down to Delaware, to a town near Bethany Beach, where every year we rented the same narrow gray house with a skew porch out front. Every morning, after breakfast and cartoons, my brother and I would leave our father to edit his articles and our mother to dab at her paintings. Wayne and I would change into our still damp swimsuits, and I would pack us Capri Suns and Lunchables from the fridge. We would walk along the roads, cutting through a gap between the fancier houses to reach the beach. My mother had told us that the gap was called No Man's Land, which Wayne misheard and took to mean it belonged to a man named Norman. We'd sneak quietly through Norman's Land, then tromp over the boardwalk, our flip-flops knocking against it, and find our favorite spot on the shore, which was marked by clumps of seagrass. Wayne was a nutty brown, a scrawny creature, a good kid. He played so hard, as if play were work. I was too old to play, so I watched him play and helped sometimes. That day, I buried him for fun's sake. We dug a shallow trench with cupped hands, like dogs, like gardeners. The top sand was cane sugar, the undersand brown sugar. When the trench was big enough, he tumbled into it and I packed the sand onto his body, pat-patting it over his hands and over his bony knees. Under the fluorescent sun, he lay still as a magician's assistant. He asked me to cover his head with our straw hat, and I said, "No, you'll suffocate." He flinched, as if to grab for it himself, then remembered that his hand was buried. Too late. The mound of sand over it had sprouted a crack. He glanced at it, at me. I pat-patted the sand back flat. After a moment, he said it again. He mouthed, "Cover my head." I touched my sandy finger to his sandy cheek. "Close your eyes, Wayne," I said, and placed the straw hat over his squinching face. I had stolen that hat from a fruit vendor before Wayne was born, when he was still in the womb. Our mother, pregnant and craving, was buying a pear at a stand at a farmer's market. The hat was rolling at the fruit vendor's feet like tumbleweed. It beckoned me, and so I picked it up and put it behind my back, switching it quickly to my front when we turned to leave. My mother didn't notice until a block later. She twisted my earlobe till it stung and hissed, "It's too late to give it back now, you little twit." Although our family had owned the straw hat for many years now, it was still too big for either of us kids to wear. We used it for carrying things instead, its leather chin strap serving as a handle. We had used it today to bring lunch and a towel. Now it swallowed his head completely.